I don't really need to say this, but I will. God has already been speaking to us through the worship and through the songs. The majesty of God, the faithfulness of God, and the goodness of God. Marvellous words to us, aren't they? And I just want to pray, Father, I just pray this morning, as we come to your word, let us have ears to hear your voice, Lord, calling us. So we commit ourselves to you right now, in Jesus' name. I'm going to speak this morning from Ephesians 6, 10 to 12 are the first two verses, but there will be seven more a little bit later on. It was entitled, this talk, Fight or Flight. Fight or Flight. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I realise that spiritual warfare is a very controversial subject. In all these years as a Christian, and it's a long time, I've experienced several great moves of the Holy Spirit, each with its own emphasis on spiritual warfare. In the 70s, it was uppermost where we were in Sheffield in a big fellowship on our minds. You know, it's hardly mentioned today. However, spiritual warfare is not an isolated compartment of church history or ministry, but it is an integral part of the entire Christian experience. To think that a Christian could avoid spiritual warfare is like imagining a gardener could avoid dealing with weeds. Hooray for Monty Don. Our goals should be, rather, to gain an accurate understanding of spiritual warfare. Colossians 2:15 says this. He's talking about Jesus here. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Satan has been bound, but not absolutely. But with regards to Christians, he no longer holds them in bondage. We have the power to resist him and undertake our lives and our calling. I'd like to mention about the context of this. The first three chapters of Ephesians explain our position in Christ. We have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. You know, to take that in is something else, that we're actually seated with the Lord Jesus, who's at the right hand of God in the heavenlies. Can you imagine it? I've heard people say, but you know, it's just a positional thing. It don't seem real. But you know, if you talk like that, scripture can be real to you. It's very practical. And God wants us to believe that it can be real. The spiritual realm is real. But the way we engage and respond to spiritual attacks is by focusing on God and what Jesus has already done for us. Ephesians 4 and 5 describe how we're to walk as Christians and live as a follower of Jesus. You need to read the six chapters, actually. It can take you 10 minutes to grasp the whole thing. Ephesians 6 is the conclusion and climax that describes how we're to stand in the face of opposition and to put on the full armour of God. Our absolute dependence upon the power of the Lord and the might of his strength. Sometimes we try to do it, don't we? You know what? It fails and goes wrong and we go down the wrong track. If we depend on the Lord more, we'll experience him more. We're able to stand and withstand through the power of the Lord and put on the full armour of God. A spiritual battle cry rings out in this text. Think of it as God's call to arms. He's asking you to join the Salvation Army. I'll not refer to Christine there. A bugle blast is meant to awaken us from passivity and alert us to the realities of real conflict. You know, there's real conflict going on in Ukraine physically. But, you know, if you do this properly, you'll find that there's real conflict in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm. And that's where Christians need to overcome before the physical. Because you can't, if you don't overcome in the spiritual, it'd be very difficult to overcome in the physical. The reality is that in our own strength, we are no match for Satan. Only when we rely on Christ's strength can we hope to defeat such a deceptive and destructive foe. Our enemy is strong and his attacks are subtle and relentless. You know, in this world, we've all got televisions, radios and one thing and another. And if we're not careful, we open ourselves up to an occult attack. When we view the media and the television and what we read and what we look at, pornography comes to mind. Illicit sex, explicit sex, we're bombarded by it. It enters through the eye gate and the ear gate. Be careful. Be warned. Put on the full armour of God so that you, me, will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Oh, lovely. He's scheming all the time. It goes on all the time. It's been going on for several millennia. We do not wrestle. Wrestle's an interesting word here. It's the only time the Bible uses that word. And it's unfortunate when I've done a lot of studies that the modern Bibles, and this is the NIV and I like it, cut out wrestling, they put in struggle. You know, there's a vast difference between a struggle and a wrestle. Have you ever wrestled another man? Got in the ring and wrestled him. It's close contact. It's close contact. We need the full armour of God. Nothing missed out. This step may be a new venture for you. You may not have thought about putting on the armour of God. And there's nothing wrong with it. You may not have come across it unless you've read Ephesians 6. But not only is it a command, but it is essential to protect us from the devil's schemes to confuse and bring us down. So, let's look at God's armour, verses 13 to 18. This is a spiritual analogy of what, at the time, a Roman soldier wears. And Paul saw lots of Roman soldiers. In fact, several times he was chained to one in prison, so he would know what they wear. I'm not saying they had full battle gear when they were in prison, but they were walking about in Rome all the time, legions, so he would see it. And I've been in many, many church where we've put it up on the overhead, a Roman soldier to describe all the things. I decided not to do that. It It is not our place to wrestle with flesh and blood, but to look beyond the human instrument to the real adversary in the spiritual world. I've put down Putin here, or Rasputin. He's as mad as that monk was. You know, we're praying that God will change his heart, but I'm also praying beyond that. I'm praying his own people will turn against him and take him out of government. He's a war criminal, and he deserves to be, what can you say? Executed, put in prison. I was looking at it this morning, and I try not to get depressed in seeing our people are murdered by this man. There is a biblical principle here, to put on and to put off. It refers to clothing and raiment, like an old coat. When we became new, we cast off that old coat of ourselves. Our old man and our old woman were took off, as thrown down as filthy rags, and we took on the new nature that God has given us. And this morning, it really pleased me. I heard God speak to me about several things in the songs there. Example here in Ephesians again, 4:22. You were taught with regard to your former life to put off your old self. Put on spiritual, invisible armour. How? How? I'm asking the question. Well, here's my take on it. When the situation arises, this is the time to put on spiritual armour. If we go into prayer and into battle with the foe without God's spiritual armour, it's a no-no. You're going to not get anywhere and you're going to get defeated. That's why he's provided his own armour to give his church and as individuals. I ask myself, is this a once and for all job? Or is it every day? And I would say, when things arise and you know you're going to get to grips with something, that's the time to put it on. So it's like being baptized in the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, the tense there in Greek is be continually baptized with the Spirit. I would say about this, be continually putting on the armor of God. It's when the situation arises. I myself, and the testimony here, put on each separate piece. How do I do it? With prayer and faith. It's the only way I know to put on the armour of God. He's equipping us. He's got a wonderful present here for us. If we don't use it, then I would consider it a failure. When I'd done that, and it's recent times, I didn't feel like Superman, but I did feel conscious of protection, and it was very helpful in my prayer life. You know, no satanic scheme can penetrate God's armour, friends. Let's look at God's armour and what he's got for us. Number one, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. As believers, buckle on this piece of armour around your waist. We will be strengthened by God's truth, which is in the Bible. Therefore, we need to study and know God's truth, and even be able to quote it, because the Holy Spirit will bring it to mind. Number two, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. By putting on and acting righteously in all our dealings and every aspect of life, we are to be a righteous people. We are to be a righteous people. You might not feel righteous, but God says you are in his eyes, and we have to look to that. We've got the righteousness of the Lord Jesus in us. Let's exploit it. Let's talk to people and see them through spiritual eyes. By putting and acting righteously in all our dealings with every aspect of life. If we fail in this, we are exposed to the devil's scheme and attacks. The soldier's breastplate was covered. I asked myself, well, he never mentions the back. Can I get a fiery dart in back? Yes, you can. But you know, I had to look into the Roman armour. It's two-piece. It's shaped as a man's chest. But there is a back piece that fits on, and it fastens with leather straps to the front. So you're covered. Even when you turn your back, you're covered. Number three, with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Cross-reference Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. We must give, be ready to give an account of our faith and bring peace rather than conflict in every situation. You know, a Christian like Jesus is a peacemaker, although he came to bring a fire as well. But there is a peace part in it, and God has given us the peace of God. Number four, take up or put on the shield of faith. Now, Romans had an extensive armour of all kinds of shapes, but this particular shield that Paul's thinking on, it's the large one. It's from between 4 and 5 foot long and 18 inches to 2 foot wide. It was a big one. So wherever you moved it, the fiery darts, the enemy, you were covered. You see, God thinks of everything for us. It's a large one which covers most of the body. And I'm thankful for the shield of faith. It says a lot. Because, you know, if we have faith, it shields us, if you reverse that. If we have faith in a situation, it shields us from the enemy's attack so that we can go ahead. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, Jesus says. And when I was in India, I had some mustard seeds in my hand. And I used to go out, I took my youngest daughter, and just below us was a demolished house on the mountainside. But they left the fireplace. So we used to go down and watch the sun going down and sit on the fireplace. And the wind would come up. And Rachel would say, what's this wind, Dad? And I said, well, we have a wind of the Holy Spirit, you know. But I'm talking about, look at these mustard seeds. And she said, what are they for? Aren't they tiny? And I held them and I picked one up. It's so tiny and flat, it's almost you can see through it. And the wind blew some away. But that's all we need, a grain of mustard seed. And when it's planted, it grows into a massive bush and the birds come and nest in it. And the next one, the fifth, take the helmet of salvation. In Roman times, the helmet would be made of iron or bronze. It would take a real sword thrust to try and even smash through it. They were well protected. But you know, when you put on a helmet, it protects your head. It protects your mind. And that's brilliant, isn't it, really? Because, really, I've put here that there are more attacks from the enemy to this body part than any other. How many times have we had wrong thoughts? Do we need protecting from that? Yes, we do. We all do, without exception. There's no exceptions here today. We all need this. And God's offering it to you. It's the battle for the mind of who we are and how we think. There's been many a Christian writer. I know Francis Flanagan. He's an American pastor. He wrote The Battle for the Mind. Joyce Meyer, for women, The Battle for the Mind. But you don't even have to read these books when it's in the scripture. The last one, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It takes the offensive against the powers of darkness. It was a short-handled sword with a blade about 18 inches. It was called the Gladius, taken from Gladiator. You've all seen Gladiator, haven't you? It was for fighting in close proximity, very close. It was more stabbing rather than cutting. And the Romans, it was a very important tool. But it's an important tool to us, because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4, verse 12. The ability to know and quote God's Word. And Jesus, our Messiah, is the best example in the wilderness temptation. He says to Satan on the mount, Matthew 4:4, it is written that man should not feed on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. In Revelation, it says the Lord Jesus, a sword will come out of his mouth. You know, that sword is sharper than any physical sword. The Word of God has power in it. Equipping ourselves with God's armour is not a mechanical operation. It is an expression of our dependence on God. And the more we depend, the more we'll receive. And finally, and you can consider this, you can't put this as a piece of armour, but it's there. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer at all times. I've put here, I want to pray with an awareness of God, the Holy Spirit, every time. And if we ask him, in Romans 8, 26 and 27, sometimes we don't know how to pray. But if we ask the Holy Spirit, he comes alongside us. He prays with us and he prays in us and for us. That's what it says. So I think, really, you know, that's a very important thing, that all of this should be undergirded by prayer. Here's a short summary, and I'm nearly done. Summary one, gain an accurate understanding of spiritual warfare. Two, put on the full armour of God. God is offering us his equipment. Are we going to take it? It's a challenge. How do we do it? By prayer and faith. Withstand the devil. You know, I like that word. In these first few verses, it's four times, stand and withstand. But withstand I like specially, because we've developed a word in English called antihistamine. And the antihistamine, anti-against, means to resist. And I don't know about you, sometime in our lives, when we've had something wrong and we've gone to doctors, he's given us antihistamine tablets. And it means they will resist and fight against, for you, whatever's wrong with you. Now, isn't that wonderful? That in Greek, we've turned it into English, and we get lots of words like this. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. What a variety is the spice of life. We can pray with all kinds of prayer. And I bet if you're open to it, the Holy Spirit will prompt you and touch your lips and your tongue to pray something different instead of the same old routine that you've got. You know, God wants to do something new in the area of that department. And finally, we are, friends, to become a militant church. Fight, not flight. Amen.